7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, the number one video game podcast in Port City. I'm one of your hosts this week, Bryant. I wrestled a bear once, Daniels. And joining me across the universe on Skype is none other than Todd Eskimo Slim Fortner. What's going on, Eskimo?
Been such a long time since I heard that name. Nothing much, man. You know, once again, happy to be doing this thing with you, man. How you feeling today?
Man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good because for the people, we got a special episode today. So this is your first time listening. This is not the normal way we do things, but we'll get into that in a minute. Usually what we do...
Normal in a sense, we do what we do.
We do what we do. And we do it best.
Yes.
Yeah, we're the best at this. All right, stay humble.
Wolverine.
Stay humble.
At all times, bro. At all times. I understand it, though. You were coming from the Wolverine angle.
I get it. I wanted
X-20.
To be...
Weapon X.
I am Weapon X. All right. Anyway, moving on. So what we normally do is we get together and talk about the games we've been playing. We run down some news, and then we have a roundtable for everybody. This week's a little bit different. We also have mini-sodes we do every now and then. But if this is your first time listening, we're actually going to break down some news, and then we're going to give you some interviews and coverage of the Classic Games Fest in Austin, Texas that we attended. It's going to be a lot of fun. Todd, I see the shirt. I love the shirt. The blue Classic Games Fest. Those guys are awesome. Hey, have you been using the mug that you got from the Classic Game Fest?
Oh, man. Yeah, like the first night I got back, man, I filled it up with wine. I felt like I was in, you know what I'm saying, Valenheim or something. Or what? I felt like...
Oldenheim.
That's what it was. Whatever, bro. Whatever. But yeah, like I filled up half of the bottle into that motherfucking glass. We was passing it around with two hands. Like, sip it from the cup. Get drunk.
Sip it from my cup.
You been fucking with it? You been using it?
Yeah, dude. I've been using it. I washed it out because I filled it up with so much root beer. There was still some residual root beer left over. You know when root beer gets all sticky and it just sticks to the bottom of the cup? Like, I had to wash that sucker out. But it's a nice cup, dude. It thing stays cold, too. That's what I liked about it. It's like you put ice in there and the thing stays cold because it's that metal tin. I felt like a real cowboy drinking from a metal cup. Except it said Classic Games Fest, so I don't think cowboys had those things that said Classic Games Fest on them. Although those would have been some badass cowboys if they did.
You're right, man. And I apologize because I know my energy's off a little bit simply because of the fact when you were talking about washing your cup, I was like, are you insinuating I drank out of a dirty cup, Brian? Why would you even stick that point at?
No, I'm not insinuating that. It's just assumed with you. It's not assumed that I'll wash my cup. It's assumed you will. It's not assumed that I will. Sometimes.
Yeah, man.
It depends on how drunk I am and how much I need that water. I'm just like, all right, well, this has got dry tea leaves in it. I don't care. I need water right now. My head really, really hurts. Speaking of that, well, last night I went out with some friends. We shut down the bar, but not only did we shut the bar down, we drank all their Lone Star. Single-handedly, me and three friends drank all of their Lone Star. Well, me and two friends and my wife, we drank all of their Lone Star. That's the first time I've ever done that. And Lone Star's not a good beer. That is not a good beer. That tastes terrible.
I think I've had it.
It's cheap.
I think I've had it.
It's really cheap and it's gross. But we're not here to talk about Lone Star beer. We're not here to talk about washing our cups. We're here to talk about Classic Games Fest, but first, what we're going to do is break down some news. We got some news for you people.
Channel 4 News with 5-time Emmy Award-winning anchor, Ron Burgundy. Cham Kine, sports. Ooh. Rick Tamlin, weather. Wow. And your reporter in the field, Brian Fantana.
It's Channel 4 News at 6 o'clock.
News for everybody. Todd, EA, back in the news again. Why don't you run down the situation for the people? Because this is incredible.
Yeah, just a quick run. I'm glad you brought that up real quick. I wasn't expecting you to start it out that way. That was great. Nah, EA, just to touch it really quickly, apparently EA chose to cut out Colin Kaepernick's name out of a couple of songs that popped up that YG did and Big Sean did in the new Madden. It actually brought up the fact that they cut it out last year, but nobody noticed because nobody brought it up. And I mean, it kind of sparked a little bit of a controversy, I guess, because that's just crazy to me. I mean, really, regardless on what side of the fence, however you feel about the Kaepernick issue, like, that's the least American shit I ever heard of in my life. You just gonna blank out the man's name like it's a cuss word? So, but the, you know, like, that's crazy.
That's
like,
my goal, yeah, is like, to turn my name into a curse word.
I mean, I guess it's a way of flattery in a sense. Like, you are so infamous, motherfucker, that they gonna blink your name out for a cuss word. But borderline, I honestly, for a moment, I was like, well, damn, man, I can't buy a game like that, you know. So EA ended up addressing it based on, I think it might have been from the artist. I don't know if it was the actual community or the people, but the artist made the point of saying, like, hey, we didn't sign off on this. Like, I mean, it's not like he's a fucking curse word. You know, and that's crazy. So it's good to hear that EA backtracked that, and now they're gonna patch. I guess it's good. I guess that's good. I don't know.
Again, it's a response to a situation, not from doing the right thing, but just because people got mad at him.
Like, and it's crazy to me that was that much of a damn. It's really that much of a thing? Because I mean, look, regardless of how you want to look at it, factually, the whole reason why the man kneeled had to simply do with his viewpoints and the general viewpoint from his community of police brutality and privatized prison systems. I mean, you can do your own research and come to your own conclusions on that. But based on, like, my experience, like, I just got off the phone with my homeboy earlier this morning, a couple of hours, my nigga Willie T. You know what I'm saying? He just got out of prison. He was in prison for, I think he did like a 10-year bid. I just talked to him. People like my boy Tony B, my boy Theron, you know, like, when it's close to you, when it's people, you know, regardless, however it plays out, like, when the prison system directly affects you, your family, you know what I mean, or police brutality, these types of issues, of course, it's going to touch home a little bit more with these types of things. It's just, once again, like, the news of it all, the funny thing, however you want to look at it, man, is to the point where we can't have it to where, not even a country, not gonna make it a country thing. We gotta make companies aware, like, this type of movement, it might, probably the NFL has something to do with it, but that's just, I mean, I don't even know, like, that's damn near some shit that we condemn as far as censorship of information. Like, that's an extreme example. Like, I don't even get that one. But yeah, that's my little two cents on that whole EA thing. I had to talk about that when I saw it, because I was like, this really is some suspect shit. Like, what the, is it that crucial? Damn. You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, it's like a weirdly, like, it's a sad precedent that people are so, like, it's a sad precedent that EA is doing it, because it's essentially censoring protest. And if you start censoring protest at a corporate level, like, you got to start thinking of, like, where the government and corporations are involved. But if you start censoring protest at all, because dissidence is patriotism. At the end of the day, dissidence is patriotism. You know, we have a lot of military members, and we respect the crap out of the military. Todd, I know you got military family, and we definitely respect the military, support the troops. You know, that's 100% what we do here at STT. And the thing is that, you know, the troops go over there and fight for our freedoms. And part of that freedom is the freedom to protest how we choose and see fit, as long as it's peaceful protest. And so what you had with Colin Kaepernick is he's bringing light to a situation. He's not protesting America. He's protesting police brutality and privatized prisons. And if
And now I'm with you. I ain't mean to cut off your point, because you're making a good point. But it's like, how we revisiting this whole conversation.
Yeah.
The same crowd that'll sit there and be like, oh, man, I'm tired of hearing about it. Like, if you don't bleep his name out, we're not even talking about this.
Exactly.
Then life is moving on. The whole reason why the story came up again is because y'all still trying to hide some shit that ain't people moving on from. People got, you know, attention spans of hummingbirds nowadays anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a reason why advertisement ads on YouTube can be 5 seconds because motherfuckers is like, I'm not doing this. It's just too much. So, like, when you do stuff like that, just like you protesting a protest to keep the protest going, like, we trying to all move forward as a one people into the gaming universe.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And be all right. I just want to get on the game and be cool. I don't want to, like, all right, damn. Every time, like, just keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
That's you know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, that brought up one more thing, man. That shit had me laughing, bro, like, about bringing people together and stuff like that, man. My homeboy Willie T reminded me of some shit years ago in a whole different lifespan. I was actually staying at his crib after some crazy shit had happened, and I think we had a Dreamcast with Soul Calibur on it.
Ooh, yeah.
And that was it. I was working at Foot Locker at the time. I used to get back home and whatever was going on or whatever. And he said something today. He was like, man, you know, I don't even play video games unless it was Sega or Nintendo or something like that. And I was like, man, you said that same shit years ago when we was on the Dreamcast. And I swear to God, that Dreamcast helped me get through because I was just getting home and get on Soul Calibur and be cool, man. But I don't know, man. I just miss some of the Spartacus respect that we used to have for our culture, man, and the respect of somebody that took a stance against stuff, and even if you didn't agree with it, it's kind of a weird era for me right now. But you know, I'm thankful every day, man, because tomorrow ain't promised, you know. So I think, sir, it's just best we got to try to focus on the positive side of things, man. Like, it's a good thing they got caught. It's really not news. It shouldn't be news. You know what I'm saying? Shouldn't take away from other stuff. But anytime this kind of thing comes up and we can, like, readdress some of the critical, you know, upfront in our face issues, I guess it's healthy. And I mean, that's what we do, man. We say it all the time. This whole podcast is based on the grand experiment of all types of different people being able to play and enjoy on the same playground.
Hell yeah.
And fuck another. You know what I'm saying? That's why we fuck with the tribe. And that's what's happening. But that's my little tangent, man. I mean, we got actual real news. We talked about trade wars and all this other kind of shit, man. But I still think it's important, man. So that's my little 2 cents on the little EA debacle. Are you still getting the game, Brian?
Yes, I'm still going to get Madden, and I'm still going to get my ass kicked. I promise you. But I'm ready for it. I'm ready to get my ass handed to me. Occasionally, I like to get the shit kicked out of me by a video game. And this year, I'm doing it. I'm expanding my bounds. That's it, man. Like, I'm expanding my boundaries. Because you know me, I'm an RPG, old school player. It's like, I've never really played that many sports games. And you know, I'm a hockey fan. And I've never even really played that many hockey games until recent years. And of course, Sega. Classic Sega games. NHL 93. Shout out. NHL 94. Two greatest years. Video games of all time. But I'm going to do it, man. I'm putting it out there. I'm going to get Madden this year. I'm going to start to play online. I'm just going to give it a shot just to see what it's like. I want the experience, Todd. I want the experience. I want to throw a hooker. I want to get in the shotgun position. What? That's what it's called, right? It's called throwing a hook?
No,
hooker?
No, man, no. I don't even know what play that is. I can't even think what formation. It's not in gun, but now I'm scared to say gun bunch.
It's the 9mm formation. That's what it's called.
No, man, it won't be no hookers thrown, bro. We're not throwing no hookers.
Okay, okay.
No hook. Oh, man.
We got a code 11. No, you don't, because I wasn't even with the hooker last night.
Look, man, I had so much fun at motherfucking Game Fest. My bad. I know we gotta get into the news, man. But
Just getting ourselves loose. Just getting ourselves loose, man, with some jokes. Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah, you know.
No, but we do have some news this week, so let's start talking about some of that.
Throwing a hooker.
Yeah. I tried. I don't know football. You know this.
As I said, that's a new name for a touchdown.
I'm gonna say it now. Every time I get a touchdown, I threw a hooker. What I'm gonna do. Every single time.
You can Grand Theft Auto, bro. It's not Grand Theft Auto.
I was just about to say that. It was just...
Hey, man. Synergy. Hey, you know what this is the anniversary of, I saw?
What?
August 4th, 2006. Motherfucking Cal and Ricky Bobby united. Ooh. And became Shake and Bake.
Hell yeah. Day. Hell yeah. Shake and Bake. I love that stupid movie. I love that stupid movie. Ridiculous. This is Walker and Texas Ranger. I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
Anarchy!
Alright, so let's get here. Let's get some news going here, man. Alright, so first piece of news we got this week. Spyro being released on September 21st. The remastered Spyro trilogy. Only the first game is going to be playable from the disc. The other two will be downloaded. And this has got some people pissed off, Todd. People are mad about this shit again. Is this just not like you expect it now, right? Like, this just should be something you expect. And they're being upfront about this. They're not waiting until it releases. It's on their website. They're like, we just wanted to set, you know, expectations for people. I thought that was actually a good move.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, look, we all mad about something nowadays, so it's best to kind of press that shit out, kind of decompress that shit. It just seems like that's a foolish thing to be upset about, though.
Is this something to be mad about? There's a lot going on. Is this the real, you know, they want to put it on one disc, and discs only hold so much information, and this is a remaster from a ground up, so it's not like it's going to be the PlayStation 1 version. This is going to be beautiful new graphics. It's going to be looking pretty. It's got new controllers, new controller schemes. I mean, they've built this thing from the ground up and it looks amazing. So to be pissed off that you have to download the other two games, get a hard drive, hook it up to your PC. If you're having a bad night, go get a hard drive, ladies.
Hold up. You're throwing hookers. You went with the hard drive a little bit too far.
I did. I apologize.
I'm just trying to protect us, man. Because, I mean, people, Disney might hear this. Or, you know, nowadays, you got to be careful. The Secret Service government is listening. It might come for you.
Disney's going to fire us. That's what's going to happen. Disney's going to fire us. They're going to look at my Twitter account from 10 years ago, and they're going to fire me.
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, hey, some shit.
You're right.
You know how I feel.
You know. Oh, no. Anyway, no, yeah, well, we talked about it last time. But yeah, so it's people are getting cranky about this, and it's like, guys, come on. Like, they were upfront about it. They could have pulled what Tony Hawk, 5 did, where the game came out and it wasn't even completed, and all the rest of the game wasn't downloadable. It was locked behind a server wall. So you... Hey, they could have done that, but they didn't. They chose to be up front, and I thought that was a really impressive move from a good studio, a really good studio, Activision. I like Activision. You know, they're pretty cool. All right, so we got a regular Fortnite breakdown. We got Fortnite news this week. We got like three pieces of Fortnite news, because everywhere I turn now, it's in the news. Speaking of which, I'm going to buy a Fortnite light-up backpack just to have one. Just so when I go out in public, people can look at me and judge me even harder. That's what I want now. I saw that on that Wish app that I keep using and keep spending money on. So first piece of Fortnite news is the Fortnite YouTube channel highlighting the best butts in the game is growing rapidly, Todd. The best Fortnite butts.
This is interesting news, man. Treat me like a pirate and give me that booty. Shout out.
I love it. This is insane. This is insane. The best Fortnite butts. Apparently, there's also Fortnite pornography. I don't know who's watching this.
This is what we doing today, Brian.
Apparently so.
I mean, I guess that's what.
No wonder I couldn't get a hold of you.
I guess that's what happens when you hit $1 billion. Shit like this starts to pop up. I think the biggest news with them right now is still PlayStation 4 not allowing crossplay, and that little funny kind of argument that Microsoft and Nintendo are trying to place against PlayStation. I mean, this got to be the biggest game for that. I was watching, I think I posted it to the Facebook page. I was looking at it. I was like, they made a good point as far as Sony with the business aspect side of it, man. Like, it actually doesn't make a lot of business sense. It's not consumer friendly. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't make a lot of business sense for them to do a lot of cross-platforming games. Because really, it's like, if you look at it from Sony's point of view, okay, you start allowing that, then exclusives, like, how are you going to do the exclusive thing? Am I looking at that the wrong way? You know what I mean? Like,
no.
All of a sudden you got access to my exclusives. Why would I want to do that? You know what I mean? It's, you're moving in on my set, son. You're moving in on my product. So I don't know, man. It's not consumer friendly, but I mean, I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to hold on to that. But I think that's the crazy part about what's going on with Fortnite right now. Other than the digital butts. That it might be on the decline when it starts talking about when it's gotten that far.
It's the digital booty takeover this time. It's the digital booty takeover. That's what's going on. But it's just
like a pirate. I cannot remember the name of that group, man. Flint Flossy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Flint. Shout out to my homegirl Tamara. Look that up, ladies and gentlemen. It's called a song called "Treat Me Like a Pirate" and give me that digital booty now. Yes.
It's the Fortnite booty. In other Fortnite news, I forgot where I've got to look up the article to read some more specifics about it, but it's going around on Facebook right now. There are parents who are reportedly hiring Fortnite tutors for their kids. So tutors to teach kids how to play Fortnite better. I'm really confused about this. I thought it was one of those joke websites when I found the article. I was like, surely this is like The Onion or something, or Clickhole or whatever. Nope, it's not. It's legit. People are actually paying people because they want their kids to become professional gamers in the future. I'm all for supporting your children. I get that. However, Fortnite tutors? That's what we're doing now? Fortnite tutors? I'm not sure. How do you feel about that, Todd? How do you feel about the decline of Western civilization?
I don't even want to have a feeling about that. I don't even know yet. I'm just honest shit. Just keeping it real, bro. Come on, man. Come on, guy. Come on, man. Come on, man. You can't take it this far.
It's gone this far. It has gone this far.
Come on, man. I know it's radioactively hot outside, but I mean, we still got to, you know, tutors for Fortnite. Like,
yeah. Nah, bro, this is crazy.
That would take the fun out of it for me. Shit.
Yeah, the fun is learning how to play on your own.
Unless it was that certain kind of tutor, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing. Fortnite is also sidestepping the Google Play Store. So if you want to download Fortnite for your phone, you actually have to go to Epic's website directly. That's a pretty bold move for them just to kind of escape Google Play altogether. I appreciate it, though, a little bit because Google Play is kind of Google's becoming that all-encompassing master of technology and access to all of our information. And that's kind of terrifying sometimes to think about how much Google knows about me. They could probably get me in a lot of trouble. They really could. Next piece of news, Octopath Traveler, the game that I am failing at as an RPG fan because I haven't bought it yet, has exceeded 1 million orders. This game is huge. Apparently it's a lot bigger than Nintendo ever expected it to be, and it looks good. It's gotten great reviews. I'm going to go buy it tonight so I can talk about it on the next show. I have to. I think I'm failing people if I don't play this game, Todd.
Yeah, man. Get back on the Switch, bro. Oh, I went back and started playing Shaq on the Switch for the trip.
Yeah.
On the trip. I actually didn't have to drive back. Thank goodness. But I had to check out the Barack DLC on that shit. That's just so fucking hilarious, man. Anything to get back on the Switch is the moral to the story. And I know how I told, man, I can't wait for you to get this game because I can't wait to hear you talk about it because I know how you are. I'm surprised you still hadn't gotten it, but I get it. You know, I know what's been going on. We've been on some other shit. And also, bro, I'm telling you, I done fucked around and I spent the $20. I don't regret spending the $20. Been playing the Destiny 2 finally. I know you've been telling me like, hey, man, stop being so salty and play the Destiny 2.
It's not bad, but, right?
Nah, not at all, man. Especially for the price point. I still don't know how I feel about supporting it because do I support the game with it not coming out the way I felt? But I'm enjoying it, man. It gives me a little Halo feel, so it's cool. Like I'll do my little run through while we're getting ready to get into Madden season, 2K season. You know, Spider-Man coming out, Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah. Spider-Man, I can't wait for Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption, Madden, all that's gonna happen very soon. There's a lot of games coming out though that I'm ready for. This is gonna be a very expensive holiday season. My Best Buy credit card is going to get a lot of use. Just buying massive credit, things. Credit.
Well, hopefully, and that's the thing, man. Hopefully, we'll be able to stay on point on top of it and see where we can help people skip some of the bullshit. Hence the name, Skip the Tutorial.
Skip the Tutorial.
Shameless in-show plug.
Yes, yes, the titular line. We just said the titular line. It's Skip the Tutorial. No Man's Sky has been updated again. Good for you, sticking to that No Man's Sky. I'm very proud of you, whatever the name of that. Hello Games. That's what it is. It's Hello Games. However, the latest update is reportedly corrupting saves on the Xbox One version of the game. So you escape one controversy and you keep leading yourself right into others. Actually, to be fair to the No Man's Sky groups, I've heard really good things about the updates. I've heard it's become a really great game. I do plan on getting on there and seeing where all those updates are. I really want to.
Yeah.
Nintendo wins again. The NES Classic outsold all other consoles in June somehow. So the NES Classic, the mini NES, was the top selling console in June. That's insane to me. It's basically an emulation station. I mean, I get why people like it, though. I do. It looks good. It's got the little controller. It has the classic games on there.
It was fun. It was fun to see the people playing it at Classic Game Fest. Like, they had the little Super Nintendo.
It was.
They had the little Segas. People were over there playing with Donkey Country and shit like that.
Donkey Kong Country?
I was thinking about the whole wrong show, bro. The whole wrong show.
You went to Tijuana on that one.
Yes. Unfortunately.
You went to the donkey show. That's what happened.
Oh, man.
Oh, Tijuana. Such good high school experiences.
Remember the 40-year-old virgin in the very beginning?
Yes.
When he was talking about that? Classic.
Oh, man. There's a Ben Stiller comedy, if you've never seen it, called The Heartbreak Kid, where they have a joke that revolves around a donkey show. And Clerks 2. Clerks 2 as well.
only this show, bro.
Only this show, yes. And last piece of news we have before we start talking about the Classic Games Fest, God of War is the official fastest-selling exclusive in PlayStation history, according to the NPD group. You know, we love it. I know everybody who's played it in the group and the tribe loves it. It's a great game. It's a great game. I haven't heard a bad thing yet from people who have tried it. I know we've got a couple of friends, though. We got one friend in particular who's got my copy of the game who still hasn't beaten it and has had that game for 3 months now. 3 months. Just saying.
You sound like you want it back. You sound like you want it back just to have it in your possession, Brian.
I kind
of
do.
That's what it sounds like. Well, the reason why you don't have it is because
Battlefront. I knew it. I knew you were going to say that, and I knew it was true.
Told you this a long time ago, man. Certain things are going to matriculate until you pass that thing on. It's like the ring. You got to go ahead and get that done, and you might get a chance to get your game back. But, I don't know. I think it's still cool. I think it's still cool, man. I think it's still a good run through if you hadn't had it. I know a couple of people that haven't had a chance to go play it. I think it's actually gone on sale a couple of times. Definitely try to catch that one on sale, man. And one of the cooler people that we met at Classic Game Fest, man. Shout out to Stina
Glitter.
We're gonna shout them out again. Cool cosplay with the God of War, man. Cool people. In fact, I need to put that picture up.
Yeah,
put that one up.
Yeah,
last one.
We got some pictures we're gonna put up for that. But that's the end for the news. We're gonna be back, where we're going to be discussing Classic Games Fest and playing you some of those interviews with some really, really cool people that we met there. Welcome back. Skip the Tutorial. We're still the number one video game podcast. This time we've taken over the United States. We're all over the place here, Todd. It's fantastic.
Are we right now? Is that... Fact checkable?
That is fact checkable. That is fact checkable.
Oh no, you put the pressure on. Watch we drop all the way off the chart for real in real life.
Sad. So sad.
Man. Oh,
so...
my bad, Brian. Not to make you sad, sir.
Oh, I'm not worried about it. But no, we are we're back here talking about the Classic Games Fest. Classic Games Fest happened in Austin, Texas, one of my favorite cities. Todd, it was your first time to Austin. How did you feel about Austin? I like Austin.
Oh, man, Austin has a great vibe, man. It feels like it's like my people down there, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm being from Louisiana, I'm always represent where I'm from. But I've been in DFW area for a few years now, and it was nice to travel down there and see the whole different side and different vibe that Austin gave, man. The people were super hospitable. And I think it was just a great fitting experience for us. You know, we hadn't started this podcast. We haven't been doing it that long, and for our first opportunity to go to a con, this type of con with gaming and classic gaming in particular, I think the universe worked that out really great. I really appreciate the host of the Classic Gaming Fest. They were really good. I mean, I spent all of my time either at the hotel or at the Classic Game Fest. So, like, just the limited experience I had with Austin, I mean, I drove around a little bit. I stayed a few miles outside, so I was able to get the kind of vibe with just driving around. But primarily the people that I met, man, were right in the wheelhouse, man. It was great. It's nice out there, man. Palmer Event Center was a cool little vibe out there. So I look forward to going back, man. I definitely look forward to going back and enjoying good times with these type of people. It was kind of hippie atmosphere, though. Had the hippies out there.
Yeah. I saw some hippies. It was cool, though, man. I like Austin. You're right, though, man. The way they had it set up this year at the Classic Games Fest at that Palmer Event Center was really cool. It's the first con I've been to in a long time where I didn't, like, inside the actual event center, I didn't feel like I was, like, being stifled by heat. Like, they had everything kind of, like, spaced out evenly, you know, and there was a lot of people there, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of people in attendance, but I felt there was also enough room to breathe when you needed to. Like, you could easily move in and out of the crowd. It was way better than some of the cons I've been to at these, like, cramped hotel venues and stuff. So they did a great job with that.
I mean, it didn't hurt that we had a little early access. That didn't hurt either.
That's true. That was good.
The other thing, maybe that's why you didn't feel as cramped.
I think I was the first person to spend money there. When I bought
maybe,
that
I don't know, man.
I bought that copy of Night Trap for PlayStation 4.
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit about that here in a little bit. But no, man, the vibe was really cool. They had a lot of cool vendors. They had a lot of cool performances, bunch of arcade games set up. They had the classic X-Men arcade game set up. We played that for a little bit.
Fun times, man. You got to get Nightcrawler. I got the classic old Weapon X. Old Wolverine himself with the old brown and kind of yellowish suit, mm-hmm. The samurai storyline suit, man. That was that good time, bro. Good time, man. How did you feel? Because I'm not even going to really get into QuakeCon, because that's a whole different kind of con.
Yeah,
that's
coming up. Yeah,
that's in our neck of the woods.
Yeah, like, we're going to be covering some of that. But I loved it, dude. I absolutely loved every minute of it. I had a blast. It was entertaining. I enjoyed the people I met. I spent all my money. I bought a bunch of cool t-shirts. I bought a bunch of cool stuff. I bought Night Trap. We talked with a few people. I got some autographs from one dude in particular who we'll talk about, who we actually interviewed. But overall, man, it was just a really cool vibe. If you ever get a chance to check out the Classic Games Fest, if you're an old school gamer, if you like that kind of stuff, and you're looking to spend some money, this is the place to do it. They had a lot of tables set up with old electronics and old booths and, you know, some of it broken. They had an Amiga there. They had an Apple II there. Like, it was just a really cool place to see. I like that they had the multiplayer Duke Nukem 3D going at all times, and you could just sit down and just get into a multiplayer deathmatch for Duke Nukem 2. That was pretty cool. Or Duke Nukem 3D. But it was just really cool. Saw some music. Saw some great music. Met some musicians. Met some people. Talked. And how did you feel, Todd? You like it? Did you spend a whole bunch of money like I did?
First off, factually, you know this, but I mean, that's what the fuck else, man. You got to support the people that are going to support you. And I mean, why else go to a place like that? I felt it was like a smorgasbord. I mean, I need to try to link the Facebook Live and go ahead and put it in the Facebook post. Y'all find it on, you know, skip the tutorial on Facebook, man. It might be able to give you you'll be able to see the introduction us getting in there, man. Starting to meet the folks. But yeah, man, I mean, and we'll kind of preface it at going through some of the interviews, because it was just some real solid folks up there, man. Like, that's a part of the culture. And I don't know, it just felt really at home, man. Like, I know you brought your wife, I brought my old lady, and generally she doesn't like many human beings, but it was great to see her amongst what she could feel like were her people as well. You know what I mean? It was really a good time, man, overall, a good vibe. Especially, I mean, we were there early in the morning. I think Saturday it was from 7 to 7. The next day, I believe it was like from like 10 or 11 to 5 or something like that. And time just flew. It was a nice park outside if you wanted to get away. And, you know, we go sit outside and just enjoy the ambiance, if you will, and then step back in and get back. They had plenty of tournaments and live music. The panels I really enjoyed. There was a panel with all female developers, and they just talked about the challenges with them. And, you know, they had the creator of Joust and Cuber. Just insight into the gaming culture. And with us starting this with the idea, like, hey, we really enjoy games and we really, you know, are part of all this whole thing. It's nice to kind of be able to give back within the economic culture of gaming, even from the from the very beginning, with like real human beings that really do this. And it was just cool to, you know, with the skip, we had our skip the tutorial shirts and just meeting and mingling. I can, like I said, I'm really excited that about some of the people that we met. I look forward to, you know, meeting up with them, working with them in the future, potentially, definitely, especially some people that were in Austin that are in the Dallas area. Hopefully we cross paths again and we can keep putting this thing together. But yeah, and I definitely spent a good grip, but I mean, I don't regret any purchase.
Nope.
But the first person we'll probably talk about out the gate, my favorite purchase so far. So
yeah, let's,
yeah, man,
that's a good transition. Let's roll into some of those interviews here. So the first interview that we did was with Ryan Barrett, who you can find on Instagram at Pixel Art Paintings. Todd, you bought a badass painting from him. This little Sonic paint. I'm staring at it now and I'm jealous. I wish I would have bought it, man. It's so pretty. It is so
pretty. It's cool, right?
It is, yeah, so, man, cool.
I might have to go back and get something else. I really wanted the Wolverine that he had. But I was like, damn, I had just spent so much. Like, I had just picked up a few comic books and some other stuff. But that is my favorite purchase at the Classic Game Fest by far, man. I love good work. Y'all, please go check this guy out. I really enjoyed his interview when I went back and listened to it. I wasn't there for this one. That's what it is, man. Ryan Barrett.
All right, here you go. Here's Ryan Barrett at Pixel Art Paintings.
All right, I'm here with Ryan Barrett, a great artist over here at the Classic Games Fest. I'm looking at your art, man, and this is absolutely amazing. This is kind of 8-bit art. I got a question. What inspired you? What about gaming inspired you to do this?
Everything. Absolutely everything. I mean, gaming is very, very close to my heart. And I've been playing video games since I was like 5 years old, so I've grown up with it. And it's just my way of, kind of giving back to video games.
I love it, man. I mean, we've got the Mega Man over here. You've got the Dragon Quest. The Dragon Quest I love. Is there something particular about Dragon Quest that kind of inspires you?
Not really. I mean, they're classic games. They're really, really good. I played that when I was very young, and just wanted to replicate that scene.
Man, this is fantastic. Where can people find your artwork or purchase anything from you or find you on Twitter?
Actually, I'm more geared towards Instagram, so at Pixel Art Paintings, and I also have a website, pixelartpaintings.com. So you can find all my stuff there.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it. Thank you again so much.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right, Ryan. Thank you again so much for that interview. That was fantastic. Your work is beautiful. As you heard in his interview, where you can find his stuff, it is for sale. And I'm telling you, as somebody who's staring at it right now and is jealous, I may have to go on there and pick something up from him. I really envy. May have to. It is that envy, man. I got that envy going on, man. All right, so the next guy that we talked to was Matt Herms. Matt Herms, he is a really cool dude. He's the colorist of the current Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic book. He's done Sonic. He's done Mega Man. Loves video games. If you know anything about South Park, we've talked about this at the beginning of the run of Skip the Tutorial, the fractured butthole you have to go through and collect those fan drawings. He did those fan drawings. So Matt Herms, the colorist for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, here he is.
Standing here with Matt Herms, colorist on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Boom Comics, the Mega Man, Sonic the Hedgehog, which just went over to IDW. Looking at these work prints, this is amazing. How did you get involved with this, man? Was it always a passion?
Always a passion, man. Yeah, like I was drawn ever since I was a kid, and you know, like when I was in high school, I was like, I really would love to work in comics. So I started out as a penciler on the Sonic the Hedgehog books at Archie about 10 years ago, and I have been a colorist now for the books for the last 8 years.
That is awesome to hear, man. Your work is beautiful. I like how your colors on all of these, especially on the new Mighty Morphin run, it just pops. I don't think I've seen something pop this much in a long time. It's extremely impressive. Boom Comics, did they approach you about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, or did you get a contract with those guys?
So actually, I was working on another book. A friend of mine, a guy that I know that worked on Sonic, he was doing a creator-owned book at Boom Studios, and he introduced me to his editors to help out with that book. And from there, they approached me and were like, hey, we're going to be doing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Would be interested in that. Of course, like, hell yeah. And I tried to sound as professional as possible in my reply. And yeah, like I got to work on the first 20 or so issues of it.
Is there a dream character for you that you would love to work on? Love to work on a boot or comic on? Just a specific character themselves.
Sure. So like with Sonic, Mega Man, Power Rangers, and everything, I've just kind of been slowly but surely working through my childhood. I would love to do Spider-Man, but specifically, I grew up in the 90s, so my Spider-Man is Scarlet Spider. I love the Clone Saga. I don't apologize for that. And I would love to work on a Scarlet Spider book sometime.
Man, I'm with you on that as well. I love the Clone Saga. I love the 90s Spider-Man. What did you think of the McFarlane Spider-Man stuff back in the day?
Oh, super gorgeous. That is that was so just kinetic and energetic, you know, like, it was crazy looking, you know, like Spidey just did not look like that before him, and he introduced so much cool stuff to it.
Absolutely. So where can people find your artwork? Where can people find you online? Purchase prints if they need to, or how do they hit you up?
So my website, www.mattherms.com, MattHerms.com, that has links to all my art. It has links to all my storefronts that I sell prints at and everything. And from there, you can also find links to my Twitter, at Matt Herms.
Perfect, man. I appreciate it. Go check it out. It's wonderful art. If you haven't read Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the Sonic the Hedgehog series, go check it out. Definitely worth it. Thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for that, man. Thank you
go,
so much,
go,
Matt.
Go, Power Rangers!
It's one of my favorite things I picked up there, dude. I bought a comic from him, and he autographed it for me. It's going on my wall. I gotta get my comic book framed from it. But I will say this, have you read that Power Ranger series, by the way, at
no.
all? It's
no.
really good. It gets really dramatic and dark. And really it's not the children's version of Power Rangers like some people may think. And those Mega Man and Sonic comics he did were really good too. That he worked on. I know he said the character that he wishes he could work on was Spider-Man, and I gave him much respect because he loves McFarlane Spider-Man. Loved the design of McFarlane Spider-Man. And, you know, it's just really cool to hear people who are like-minded.
Man. Yes, sir. I support the Todd McFarlane fans as well. His name is Todd. So, yeah.
Yeah,
his
absolutely.
Work was dope. I checked it out. It was dope, too, man. That's one, you know, I might have to catch him on the next go.
Absolutely. The next guy that we talked to was Garrett. He was an artist there. He caught my eye mostly because his paintings were just really angry versions of video games. And he had a pissed off Qbert painting that I really wish I would have purchased. But this guy was really cool. He does a horror movie podcast. And you know how I feel about horror movies. Love horror movies. He does not, but he's on a podcast about horror movies because he's actually self-admittedly a fraidy cat when it comes to horror movies. But I'm going to let Garrett talk about his stuff. He's really cool. Todd, did you get a chance? Did you walk by his booth at all? Where you saw those?
Yeah. I saw it when we first walked in, but I didn't get a chance to double back.
Yeah, it was really cool. Here is Garrett.
Standing here with Garrett here at the Classic Games Fest here in Austin, Texas, looking at some of this wonderful artwork you do, man. Just incredible gaming art, man. What got you involved in it? What made you especially design the video games? Because I love the edge to this.
You know, just you grow up a nerd, you have art talent, it just kind of goes together.
It absolutely does, man. And putting the angry edge, the Q-bert over here, I gotta know, man, Q-bert. The pissed off Q-bert, where did that come from? Because that is beautiful.
I just kind of, you know, I kind of look at it and I'm like, anything that evolves into the way that thing looks, you know, it's got to have some kind of edge to it. So I kind of naturally put a little bit more of a realistic kind of, you know, just a harder edge to it.
This is something, I would love to see these as cartoons, animated series. Have you ever thought about working your way into doing some of that on YouTube?
Not yet. It's been a thought, but the time and work involved in that is definitely one of those prohibitory things right now, but maybe in time.
Absolutely. Where can people find your artwork at?
You can find it at tinytigertime.com. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter under ATXFlip. You can just check it all out there.
Can people purchase it there?
Yes, I have prints available. Just pretty much anything that gets posted, if you want a print of it, it's there.
Now, I would be amiss if I did not bring up, we talked about this before the mics rolled, you're on a horror movie podcast. I'm a horror fanatic. What is that podcast? And you also said something a little bit about why you're on the podcast that I'd like to hear.
Yeah, so I wasn't really into horror movies, but I am on a horror podcast, and a couple buddies of mine who are really steeped in the subject were like, hey, we want you to be on this horror podcast. And I was like, why? I don't watch these. I get scared of these. And they're like, that's exactly why we want you on here. So it's the GraveTalk.com or the Grave Talk Podcast. It's available on all the locations you can find podcasts. We're kind of new, but we're kind of getting into it and just talking about, you know, current stuff, old stuff, you name it, we're going to hit it up.
I'm going to check it out, guys. I definitely want to. One last question I have for you. Favorite video game of all time?
Jet Set Radio Future.
Damn good choice,
it's a deep
man.
Cut, but that's the one. That's the one I like.
That's a damn good choice, my friend. All right. It was so a pleasure meeting you
here.
It
was great meeting you too, man.
Thank you.
Man, that was one really chill dude. That's what I liked about that guy. He was just real chill, real even keeled, man. We're going to get a photo up on the Facebook. I took a picture of his stuff. You can see it for yourself. Also, go check out his stuff. He plugged it there. It is totally worth it. That's another one I'm going to have to... You know, Classic Games Fest still has me. I'm going to go spend more money where I've already spent money. It's okay, though. It's okay. It would be totally worth it. Now, there was a lot of people there who also were representing organizations that were charitable in nature or educational in nature, and I thought these next people were really cool. This was Radical Empathy. Specifically, we talked with Representative Tuesday from Radical Empathy. What they do is educational VR, and they use educational virtual reality to teach children and parents about child safety and human trafficking. Kind of bringing awareness to the situation that's going on worldwide. It's a really cool program. If you get a chance to go, check them out. They're really kind of amazing people. And they had a cool booth. I got a chance to put on their VR goggles and actually go through the experience. And it was, I will say, man, it was educational. It was badass.
Did it feel rich man toysy to you? Because I didn't get a chance to put it on. But I did get a chance to check them out.
You know, this one felt less so like the rich man toysy kind of thing. This one felt more like something that I could see in schools, especially with teaching children, you know, safety about being aware of their surroundings and, you know, not being on your cell phone all the time or not being distracted by an iPad or whatever you have, is being just kind of aware of what's around you. I thought that was really cool. And it was a unique experience. I'll say that it was a very unique experience. But this is Tuesday with Radical Empathy.
All right, I'm here with Tuesday with Radical Empathy, educational virtual reality, correct? Okay, why don't you explain a little bit about what you guys do?
All right, so we are Radical Empathy Education Foundation, and we use virtual reality to teach students and adults, anyone else who wants to learn, about child safety and human trafficking of minors.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, over at Skip the Tutorial, we firmly believe in educational resources in gaming and educating the public through gaming. So I assume you'll share that same sort of mission and see a real impact in the future with that sort of thing.
Absolutely. So we have a pilot school right now. It's actually in town, McCallum High School. We have our program about to be initiated. We have an entire experience already developed. We also have traditional educational materials. Everything's transparent, scripts online. Parents and teachers, anyone that's concerned can read through. We just want to give people the tools at a young age to be able to protect themselves and others.
Excellent. So where can people find more information about you guys online?
Great question. So we are at Reef Cares on all social media. We also have a bit.ly link that is... sorry, it's
a little hard to read. No worries.
HTTP, it's colon/// bit.ly / help reef in all caps. We also have reef.com, Radical Empathy Education Foundation. We can find us. If it's easier, Billy Joe Kane.
Perfect. Excellent job.
So our hashtag is Reef Cares on everything.
Oh,
hashtag,
yeah,
what was the hashtag?
Hashtag Reef Cares, R-E-E-F-C-A-R-E-S.
Excellent, excellent. One last question. I see you guys have the HTC. Do y'all use multiple VR equipments, or is it HTC exclusive right now?
Currently, it is HTC exclusive, but we have a mobile app as well, so you can find it as VR Detective on Google Play Services.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Check it out, guys. Radical Empathy. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you
nice
so much.
Nice to meet you.
As we always preach, Todd, education through video games. That's what we talk about.
Yes, sir.
Education through video games. And if you're going to teach anything, teaching people about human trafficking is a pretty good way to do it. It's a pretty good thing to teach. I'm just saying. Teach people how to be safe. Be safe out there, people. Next guy we talked to was Chris. He has an organization, a charity called One Up on Cancer. They actually use video games to raise money for adults with cancer. And as Chris says, you know, you hear about childhood cancer and children, but eventually someday they turn 18. And this is kind of a continuation of that mission, is for kids who come out of the programs for raising money for their cancer, cancer research and drugs, and actually supporting them as adults. He was a cool guy. He showed me a picture. We don't get into it on the interview, but he showed me a picture of his console collection at home. I'm insanely jealous of that. That guy has everything starting in the 80s. Like, just lined out. Like, he had to build custom shelves to put it all up and custom cutouts. And I was like, man, I want your collection so bad. I really do. That's going to cost me so much money.
It was a dope cause, though, man. It was a few dope causes up there, man. I'm glad you were able to capture them, man. This one was a good interview.
Yeah, this is Chris from One Up on Cancer.
You get the logo. Oh, it's a podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast. I'll take a picture of it, though.
Sure.
I'm here with Chris from One Up on Cancer. Really cool organization. Just spent a minute talking with you here. Explain what you guys do.
So we're a 501c3 nonprofit that raises money for adult cancer treatment bills. So I'm sure everybody's heard of Extra Life, St. Jude's, Child's Play, which help kids with cancer. All those kids turn 18 one day. So we started this organization in 2015 to help people who are 18 and above with their cancer treatment bills.
Excellent. And what was it about gaming? Because I know cancer is very close to a lot of people's hearts. But what was it specifically about gaming that drove you guys to use that as the platform to raise money?
Well, my wife and I are lifelong gamers. Both her and I have been gaming together since the 90s. And she was a Twitch streamer. I was really impressed on what you can do on that platform. And saw that people were fundraising. And I thought we should do something like that, but for adults.
Absolutely. What is your current favorite go-to game?
Current favorite go-to game? Right now is Portal. I can beat that in under 2 hours, hour and a half now, going through everything. If it's going to be on the Atari 2600, it has to be Journey Escape.
Excellent choices. Where can people find more information on your charity? Where can people donate to you guys?
Well, the website's oneuponcancer.org. That's, again, the number one, UPONCANCER.org. And they can go there. They can see more information, get as much information as they wish.
And then, of course, there's a donation button right there.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate it. We're going to spread the message here because it's extremely important that we as a gaming community get together to support each other and to help each other out. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Chris, thank you so much. If you get a chance to donate, or if you get a chance to, if you got a used console sitting around, an old console, they take old used consoles, they take video games, they do a lot there. Next up, we got Brittany from Stack Up. This is, we talked about supporting the military. That's what these people do. You were there for this one, Todd. They were really cool. These are the people who actually send care packages to the military of video games while they're, stationed overseas. And
yeah, man.
They talk a little bit about how video games help with PTSD, and I thought that was a really cool introduction point. How'd you feel about them? I thought these people were really cool.
Yeah, man, I felt great about that. This is yet another example, man, of just what we talk about on the show is real. It's funny how the universe pulls everything together and makes it organic, man. We talk about these types of things, so to see people actually on a real life mission of assisting is great to you know, feel that commonality and that, you know, it's the trial, man, whether you realize it or not. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. This is Brittany from Stack Up, the military charity.
All right, I'm here with Brittany with Stack Up, an organization that is really close to what
is
the thing.
Is it Stack Up, bro?
Stack Up.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right.
Really close to what we believe in with veterans and gaming. So explain to everybody what it is that you guys do.
So we are a 501c3 military gaming organization. We have four different programs that we cater to. We have our supply crate where we send deserving veterans either in the hospitals or overseas or current active duties in the U.S. Crates that have PlayStations, Xboxes, multiple different games and other gaming necessities or reading materials such as Dungeons and Dragons over to them. So that way they're not just bored sitting in their unit and not being able to do anything and kind of twiddling their thumbs. We also have our local stats program where we have local community with also comprised of veterans and civilians, just spreading the word about what we do. We also have our air assaults program where we send deserving veterans to different cons and Comic-Cons, different PAX West, E3, you name it. We send them out there. It's an all expenses paid vacation for them. They don't have to worry about anything. All expenses paid, which is great. And we also have our newest program, which is our Stack Up Overwatch program, which is our SOC. It's a suicide prevention program, thank you, that helps veterans along with civilians. It's 24 hours, which allows them to go ahead and reach out, talk to someone. If you're having a bad day and you just need someone there to talk to get you through that, we have that. If it's more serious, we can get them in touch with local psychiatrists and other helpful professionals that we don't have the authority to do, but we are always there to help them, and it's there 24/7, so we definitely encourage all people to use that service. They can reach us out through our Discord at Stack Up.
That's really cool, guys. I mean, definitely appreciate the effort you guys are making into helping the military community. Where can people find you guys online? Where can people donate? Or
People can donate at stackup.org. They can find us on Twitter, along with Facebook and Discord. And just look up Stack Up. That's pretty much our handle on everything, stackup.org.
Very cool. And can people donate like consoles if they want to, or send video games? And is the address available to them online?
Yes, they can go ahead and donate any consoles, any other materials. Again, we do tabletop games as well, magazines. We accept all types of donations. If you don't have a console or a game that you want to donate, we do accept cash donations as well. And they can do that on our link on stackup.org.
Excellent. So instead of donating your stuff to GameStop for $1.25, give it to Stack Up, who will help the military.
Everybody knows the GameStop, you know, patrons steal from Targets and such. You can actually help people with this. And these two young ladies are really having great conversation about mental health with veterans. And we all know how important that is. Yeah, it's the dopeness.
It is. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Brittany, for keying us into that information. If you want to donate,
yeah, man, hold
again.
On. Did you say military? Did you say military cherry on earlier when we cut into the interview?
Military charity. Oh, I just kind of like
cherry military cherry.
Military charity.
Anyway. Okay.
All right, my bad. I kind of just trailed off on that.
Go ahead and give him the link, man. My bad. I didn't mean to interrupt the business at hand, bro.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. But yeah, if you want to, they talked about it in their actual interview itself. But Stack Up, you know, they're one of the really cool people that we talk to. Again, they also take donations as well as One Up on Cancer. But you can go to them at stackup.org. And you can find all their information there on Twitter at stackup.org as well. They help veterans get through some of the more situational issues that they have to alleviate stress of deployment, to alleviate some of the boredom, too, that you hear about deployment overseas. It's really, really cool what they do in supporting the military. Next up, we have Eugene and Laney. They were actually they were in Con. They were in Con. Sorry, yes, we were all at the COD.
Genghis
COD. No, these are Chris and Laney. They were Eugene and Laney. Sorry about that. They were there actually dressed up as the Ghostbusters. They had made their own Octopacks, and they had their own suits and jumpsuits. It was really, really cool. They got their own nerdy podcast that they talk about a little bit here. But I love the Ghostbusters, so I had to talk with them. I really like what drives people to make their own Octopack. That's what I want to know. And then tell me, how do you do it? Because I want to make my own someday. But this is Eugene and Laney.
All right, I'm here with Eugene and Laney in probably the coolest Ghostbusters costumes and Ectopacks and everything else here. If you're a Ghostbusters fan, this is amazing. How did you guys get involved with the Ghostbusters cosplay?
Well, my brother-in-law, Eugene, over here, he built his pack. We got really excited about it. We were ghostbusting freelance for a while, doing just some local events and stuff. And then we actually got involved with the Austin area Ghostbusters, and we've been with them for a couple years now, and we've had a lot of fun with it. Originally, we just did it for our site, epicbookie.com, and we just sort of took off with it. So it's been really, really fun, for sure.
This is incredible detailed work, incredible design. Do you mind explaining just a little bit about the process you went through with the planning and just building this out?
Thank you. The packs themselves, these are referred to as junk packs. You can find the plans on gbfans.com. They're actually they're over a decade old now. So my pack is made out of plastic. It's got like a 9-inch cake pan. It's got the bottom of a Pringles can. It's literally a bunch of junk you throw together, paint it black, put some electronics on it, and it turns out pretty cool. The newer stuff that we're doing, though, like my PK meter, my ghost trap, are all 3D printed. So I'm looking at 3D printing an entire proton pack as well. But since the advent of 3D printing, like everything's changed. It's become so much more accessible. So,
absolutely. Now, y'all also host a podcast, right? I'll let you say it, so I don't want to mess it up. What was it called?
It's called Epically Geeky. You can find it at epicallygeeky.com. We do just random topics. Like right now, we're running through the decades. We've done 70s pop culture, 80s pop culture. But, I mean, we've done some fun stuff. A couple years ago, before the election, everyone was talking about, oh, I'm voting for the lesser of two evils. So we put that to the test, and everyone took a person, and we had a big mock debate as to who would you want for president? Darth Vader, Skeletor, Cobra Commander, Megatron, and really figured out who you would vote for. But we've done some fun stuff like that, and it's just kind of random. We also have a book club podcast called Marginally Geeky, and we're currently in the middle of reading the Magic 2.0 series, which is a ton of fun. We're actually cosplaying for that next month at Geek Fest. And I had a short-lived maker show on YouTube, but it was just too much with Ghostbusters and all this other stuff. I'm hoping to get it back up and running again, because I've actually I've started 3D printing Raspberry Pi cases that look like Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, so on and so forth, and they're really small. I've got my new versions coming out here hopefully fairly soon. So,
excellent to hear, guys. I appreciate it so much. Where can people find you on Twitter? Do you have a Twitter or a Facebook group as well?
You can find us at Epically Geeky on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much. Like I said, I'm going to get a picture of you guys to put up on our Facebook. This is fantastic. Thank you.
Seriously, though, those suits were so badass. They were so badass. I definitely got photos of them that will be going up on the social media.
But speaking of suits, the next dude, he was up there with some of the best suits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. 100%. What was that? That was the Pac-Man. You can see it on our Facebook. It's on our Facebook right now. But he had a Pac-Man suit on. This is One Up Creative Mind Frame. He is a hip-hop artist, part of the Nerdcore community. He runs with Megaran's crew, if you've ever heard of them. Megaran. Really cool guy. He's from our neck of the woods. He's from the Dallas area. We're definitely going to be talking a little bit more with him in the future. I thought his music was cool. You bought a couple of his CDs, Todd. I think he's got a really good style to him. His lyrics are really clever. I really like his stuff. But this is One Up Creative Mind Frame.
All right, we're standing here with One Up at the Classic Games Fest in Austin, Texas. Got one question for you, man. I love your music, by the way.
Thank you.
Love your music, by the way. My question for you is, what is it about video games directly that inspire your art and the way your creative mind works?
Oh, man. How much time do we have?
As much time as you want.
There's something just so magical about video games. I don't know if it's the fact that they had to creatively make the music on the hardware they had, but there's just something that's like magical about that chip sound, arpeggiations. Like, it's almost like you give someone five ingredients and you're like, you have to whip up a master meal, right?
Yeah.
So you have to get really creative and figure out, okay, how am I going to make the music that touches these people, that fits with this level, right?
Yeah.
That invokes this emotion. And when you think about kids, when you're playing that, when you're starting at five, your mind's already blown just from the video game. And so then you attach those emotions that you get when you hear the music again to that first time where your mind was blown. And I don't know, it's everything about it's just magic. And so I love making music about things that I love.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if you saw my most recent release, but I'm also doing some more like random songs that just about life in general.
Yeah.
And so video games always have been magic in my life. I got a massive collection of retro games at my house. And so, yeah, that's what inspires me, is just the magic that came with playing them and the emotion that they were able to evoke using 8-bit and 16-bit chiptune sound. So.
Absolutely. Now, as far as the chip tunes and the old school soundtracks, do you have a personal favorite? I know some of mine, of course, are the original Metroids, Zeldas, Final Fantasies, but anything that stands out to you?
My three top soundtracks would be Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Super Mario RPG, and then actually I give a split between Final Fantasy 7 and Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Oh, Sonic 3, the one with Michael Jackson,
yep,
where he worked on it.
And they finally gave him that credit.
Yes.
They finally gave him that credit. I was like, come on, man. We all knew. And like, even if you pretended like he wasn't on it, we all knew.
Absolutely.
It just sounded like MJ.
It was Michael Jackson, just directly.
Exactly.
It was completely Michael Jackson.
Exactly, that's what I'm like. So you can't pretend like he wasn't on it. So they finally, I think it was like a year ago, but they finally gave him the credits.
Absolutely. Where can people find you at?
You can find me at Creative Mind Frame on Facebook, on Instagram, Creative Mind Frame, SoundCloud as well. My website is www.creativemindframe.me.
Perfect.
Absolutely. You know, got to speak to the tribe, because the one thing about this young man, One Up, you know, I'm about to get a chance to listen to his music. That impressed me though was he offered me a calculus problem to try to get his music for free. You dig what I'm saying? That's an intelligent young brother. I automatically had to come out of pocket on that one and support the hustle. You know what I'm saying? Plus my boy B know his music, so you know what I'm saying. Plus my man, we got to get a picture too, because this suit. Legendary, my brother. But yeah, man, that's my little two cents that I had to get in the one interview.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Probably won't be in another one. You know what I'm talking about? You've probably been holding it down.
Let's get that picture in there. One Up. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Man, talk about a guy with a passion for video games. That was incredible. He gave a really good interview.
Yeah, man, he was solid. I really enjoyed him. The DJ V-Money. They had some cosplay stuff going on. It was another podcast associated with those guys. I think it was Shock Value.
Yeah, my apologies
if I'm getting incorrect, but they were really solid people. Check them out. But yeah, man, that was their whole crew, man. They're good people. I hope we cross paths on that one, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was really good. The next interview you actually did, Todd. This is Mr. John Henderson. with the Hoff Institute in Austin, Texas, a video game school there in Austin. I like this guy. John was cool, man. He was really, really passionate about creating.
We just need to let John talk. Let the people let the message that John was trying to get out across, let that shit stick.
Yes, yes. Here is John Henderson with the Hoff Institute.
Starting with that, but yeah. So it's the Hoff Institute.
That's right.
All
right. So my name's John Henderson. I'm the program coordinator for the Game Design and Development Lab at Hoff Institute in Austin, Texas.
Okay. Hold on, man. Wait. All right. Let's skip the tutorial real quick. And just so tell us, John Henderson, tell us about the schooling, because I know my friend here is always preaching to people about how video games can be important in education and how important education about video games is. So tell us a little bit more about the schooling. Yeah.
Well, the thing about game development is it's a glamour industry. So there's a way you can define that. For every job there is available in game development, there's two orders of magnitude, 100 times more people who will apply for that job. 90% of them are really unqualified for it. I mean, they're people that are fascinated by video games. They play video games all the time, and they think that playing games is job experience, and it's not. But I mean, that's the nature of video games. Like, you hold a controller in your hand or a mouse and keyboard, you do that long enough, you start fooling yourself into thinking, I'm creating something, when really you're just choosing between the nice choices that someone else has made for you. So you get a lot of people who go to quote-unquote game development school. And there are lots of places here in Austin where you can do that, at University of Texas, at Austin Community College, at art institutes. And a lot of them, and it's not the fault of the program or the teachers, but they get it in their head that all they really need to do is focus on their degree requirements, and they get out with a degree. Well, what do you do with a degree? You frame it and you hang it on your wall. It won't get you a job, not by itself. If you didn't hustle and make connections such that people know you, there's really two different sides of this equation. There's what you know and can demonstrate, and then there's who knows you. Because if they don't know you, they won't hire you.
Yep.
What we're trying to do at the Game Lab, it's an evening program that runs for 8 months, so you can hold down a job during the day and then come to school at night. You get to work within a team, and our instructors are actual professionals that have had experience in game development, so they know something about that. And we basically freshen them up such that they can get their first job interview and they'll be taken seriously.
Oh man, that's perfect. That's great, man. And see, that's, I like the idea that you are focusing not only on the education portion, but actually making it functional. So where can people find you at?
So we're here in Austin, Texas. We're about 4 blocks west of the main UT campus at 24th Street and Pearl. We're in Frat Row. We're right next door to sororities and fraternities houses. Actually, our building used to be a fraternity house way back in the 40s.
And, really?
Earlier this year, right when we were getting started in January, we hosted the Global Game Jam for Austin. And we ended up being the largest Global Game Jam in Texas. We had 121 jammers and 17 finished projects by the end of the weekend.
Oh, that's, man, awesome. That's crazy, bro. Well, it looks like gamedevelopmentlab.com.
That's right.
Website they can reach you at. All right, that's great.
Gamedevelopmentlab.com.
Do you have anything else?
Excellent, man. I love what you guys are doing. I love getting out there and teaching people a functional way to get into the gaming industry. It's got a huge future ahead of it.
Oh, yeah. And here in Austin, there's been not just a future, but a history.
Yep.
You know, the future is just a history you haven't experienced yet. We've got both here in Austin. People have been making games here since the 80s.
Yep.
Man, hang on the way. You got to end it on that. He just dropped the truth.
You did, man.
What
I
was saying. It's been a pleasure to meet you, man.
Sure. All right. Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, John. That was fantastic. So if you want to make video games, that's what you want to do for a living, want to be creative, this is maybe a good place to check out, especially if you're in the Austin area.
Man, if you are serious about it in that area, you need to go fuck with John, because he's the man with the plan.
Yes, yes. Go find him. He's a good dude. Stina Glitters is up next. She was a cosplayer. Took a fantastic photo with you, I might add. Dressed up at the con as Carmen Sandiego, and her friend sitting next to her was dressed up as Where's Waldo. And I was like, ah, that's clever. It took me two passes to catch on to what they were doing. But they were really cool.
And those were two super solid young ladies. And you know, the picture came from, I can hear the God of War music in my head right now, because she had the cosplay with the God of War.
Yes.
We definitely got to link up with them, man. Especially if they're out in the area, if they get a chance. Might have to tag them and see what they got going on, man. Solid, solid folks, bro.
Agreed. Here is Stina Glitters, cosplayer.
I'm here with Stina Glitters at the Classic Games Fest. Stina, just a couple of questions for you. I know you said you've been cosplaying since 2013. What inspired you to start cosplaying, and what was it about video games specifically that kind of attracted you to that?
I think it's the whole illusion of really being able to bring out a part of yourself that you don't get to bring out in the real world. You know, like, I've always felt like a warrior internally, or like, you know, some sort of combat fighter, you know, and it's, you don't get to just live that way. You don't get to have these days where you're running and jumping off of buildings, but somehow being able to put that outfit on and feel like, at least I look like I can do those things, you know, it really helps brighten your day and make you feel good.
That's incredible. That absolutely is. Y'all have great costumes today. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Yes.
Absolutely. So where can people find you guys at, or you and your products, your show? Where can people find that at?
Okay, everything is under Stina Glitters. It's S-T-I-N-A Glitters. And that's my Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, everything. Also, a friend and I, Tabitha Darling, have a web show called The Fangirls of Dallas, and we do live streams every Wednesday. On Facebook, and we're also on YouTube.
Absolutely incredible. Thank you so much. Keep it up. We definitely appreciate you doing this interview today.
Thank you so much, Stina. That was fantastic. They're actually, she talked about that, though, the DFW Fangirls. I checked out some of their stuff. It's really, really cool. They're exclusive to Facebook right now, according to what they were saying. They've tried YouTube, but Facebook is where they're at. And the last guy we talked to is the first thing that I bought, was had to buy Night Trap. I just had to own it. By the way, I did pop it in. It's still terrible.
That's what she's
but no, this has been with Limited Run Gaming. I really think these guys have a cool mission. I am all about physical copies. I will always be that dude. And these guys are as well, this physical preservation. So I'll let Ben talk about that. Ben with Limited Run Games.
All right, so I am here right now with Limited Run. What's your name?
I'm Ben. I'm the CFO for the company.
All right, I think this is a really cool model you guys got going on here, Ben. Can you explain it just a little bit to our listeners and skip the tutorial?
Absolutely. So what we do is, in this day and age, we are all about physical preservation. The owners and myself were collectors, so we saw everything drying up in retail, and it's because of how difficult it's been for smaller publishers that have these digital gems to do a wholesale model, because at the end of the day, they're making fractions of a penny on every unit sale, and it's just not efficient. So we did an e-commerce model, and we sell through our site, limitedrungames.com, to give these companies a very cost alternative friendly option for them to do physical releases. We hold licenses with Nintendo and with Sony, so we're able to put out products for them, and it's been just an awesome market. We have great fans. We've been cultivating a larger following as we go.
I appreciate it, Ben. This is awesome, man. I really love your setup here. I love all the physical games. You've got Oceanhorn, Night Trap on physical. Yeah, I never thought I'd see a Night Trap physical. Are y'all doing the Switch release
for it? We actually just did the Switch release a couple weeks ago. So it was kind of a never say never situation.
Absolutely, man. Hey, man, I appreciate this. This is amazing. I'm actually going to go buy some product from you guys right now.
All right. That was Ben with Limited Run Games. They may be making another appearance on the show in the future. We don't know. We're going to maybe talk with these guys a little bit further. I really like these dudes. I thought their mission
was funny,
cool.
Yeah, it was funny, man. I got, you know, I was outside, and we caught them outside, man, and I got a little long-winded, and I got excited. I was talking about the show, and we all passed the stories along, and he got that kind of look in his face because he was like, yeah, man, my partner, he wasn't able to get here because of the flight and everything else, and I basically had to work in there by myself the whole time, and then next thing I know, he was like, yeah, man, all of that sounds great, but I really got to piss. So I was like,
yep.
And then my, you know, like Sarah was just like, so you just gonna keep him here? It's like, you know, you ever been in that position where he's just like, yeah, that, all that sounds great. I'm about to piss on myself and put, what do you want? Yeah. I just told you I've been stuck working here for 8 hours straight, drinking fucking goblet soda, and you sitting here talking about the passion for podcasting and video games. It's been great.
It's been great. I gotta go to the bathroom. Please move. He was starting to do the dance too.
That motherfucker was cool too, though, bro. For real, he was real cool. I really dug him. In any kind of capacity, we can plug up, man. I think that's a good idea. A couple of people like Geek Culture. I got a chance. I know you got a chance to speak with the Geek Culture people. We didn't get a chance to get an interview with them, But I mean, you could just type in Geek Culture at Facebook. They were really solid. But yeah, man, it's been what else do you have for the folks, man? How you feeling? What's going on, bro?
Fantastic, like, man. That was an excellent fest, man. Go check these people out that we interviewed. If you want to see a full lineup, I believe Classic Games Fest still has everybody that was there on their website. Every booth I saw there, I don't think there was a single booth I saw that I didn't like. There was something there that I thought was really cool. But that's been it for this week's episode of Skip the Tutorial, covering the Classic Games Fest in Austin, Texas. And as we always do, before we go, stay humble.
Stay humble.